Chapter 6. The Noble and Most Ancient House of Black. Mrs. Weasley followed them upstairs, looking grim.
"I want you all to go straight to bed, no talking," she said as they reached the first landing. "We've got a busy day tomorrow. I expect Gin is asleep," she added to Hermione, "so try not to wake her up."
"Asleep, yeah, right,"
said Fred in an undertone after Hermione bade them good night and they were climbing to the next floor. "If Ginny's not lying awake waiting for Hermione to tell her everything they said downstairs, then I'm a flubberworm."
"All right, Ron, Harry," said Mrs. Weasley on the second landing, pointing them into their bedroom. "Off to bed with you."
"Night," Harry and Ron said to the twins.
"Sleep tight,"
said Fred, winking. Mrs. Weasley closed the door behind Harry with a sharp snap. The bedroom looked, if anything, even danker and gloomier than it had on first sight. The blank picture on the wall was now breathing very slowly and deeply, as though its invisible occupant was asleep. Harry put on his pajamas, took off his glasses, and climbed into his chilly bed, while Ron threw owl treats up on top of the wardrobe to pacify Hedwig and Pigwidgeon, who were clattering around and rustling their wings restlessly.
"We can't let them out to hunt every night," Ron explained as he pulled on his maroon pyjamas. "Dumbledore doesn't want too many owls swooping around the square. Thinks it'll look suspicious. Oh, yeah, I forgot."
He crossed to the door and bolted it. "What are you doing that for?"
"Creature," said Ron as he turned off the light. "First night I was here, he came wandering in at 3 in the morning. Trust me, you don't want to wake up and find him prowling around your room. Anyway..."
He got into his bed, settled down under the covers, then turned to look at Harry in the darkness. Harry could see his outline by the moonlight filtering in through the grimy window.
"What do you reckon?"
Harry didn't need to ask what Ron meant.
"Well, they didn't tell us much we couldn't have guessed, did they?"
he said, thinking of all that had been said downstairs.
"I mean, all they've really said is that the Order's trying to stop people joining Vault."
There was a sharp intake of breath from Ron.
"Demort," said Harry firmly. "When are you going to start using his name, Sirius and Lupin do?"
Ron ignored this last comment.
"Yeah, you're right," he said. "We already knew nearly everything they told us from using the extendable ears. The only new bit was..." Crack! "Ouch!" "Keep your voice down, Ron, or Mum will be back up here." "You two just apparated on my knees." "Yeah, well, it's harder in the dark."
Harry saw the blurred outlines of Fred and George leaping down from Ron's bed. There was a groan of bedsprings, and Harry's mattress descended a few inches as George sat down near his feet.
"So, got there yet?"
said George eagerly.
"The weapon Sirius mentioned?" said Harry.
"Let's slip more like,"
said Fred with relish, now sitting next to Ron.
"We didn't hear about that on the old extendables, did we?"
"What do you reckon it is?" said Harry.
"Could be anything," said Fred.
"But there can't be anything worse than the Avada Kedavra curse, can there?"
said Ron.
"What's worse than death?"
"Maybe it's something that can kill loads of people at once," suggested George.
"Maybe it's some particularly painful way of killing people," said Ron fearfully.
"He's got the Cruciatus curse for causing pain," said Harry. "He doesn't need anything more efficient than that."
There was a pause, and Harry knew that the others, like him, were wondering what horrors this weapon could perpetrate.
"So, who do you think's got it now?"
asked George.
"I hope it's outside,"
said Ron, sounding slightly nervous.
"If it is, Dumbledore's probably keeping it,"
said Fred.
"Where?" said Ron, quickly. "Hogwarts?" "Bet it is," said George. "That's where he hid the Sorcerer's Stone." "A weapon's going to be a lot bigger than the stone, though,"
said Ron.
"Not necessarily," said Fred. "Yeah, size is no guarantee of power," said George. "Look at Ginny."
"What do you mean?" said Harry.
"You've never been on the receiving end of one of her bat bogey hexes, have you?"
"Shh," said Fred, half rising from the bed.
"Listen."
They fell silent. Footsteps were coming up the stairs again.
"Mum!"
said George, and without further ado there was a loud crack, and Harry felt the weight vanish from the end of his bed. A few seconds later, and they heard the floorboard creak outside their door. Mrs. Weasley was plainly listening to see whether they were talking or not. Hedwig and Pigwidgeon hooted dolefully. The floorboard creaked again, and they heard her heading upstairs to check on Fred and George.
"She doesn't trust us at all, you know,"
said Ron regretfully.
Harry was sure he would not be able to fall asleep. The evening had been so packed with things to think about that he fully expected to lie awake for hours mulling it all over. He wanted to continue talking to Ron, but Mrs. Weasley was now creaking back downstairs again, and once she had gone, he distinctly heard others making their way upstairs. In fact, many legged creatures were cantering softly up and down outside the bedroom door, and Hagrid, the Care of Magical Creatures teacher, was saying,
"Beauties, aren't they, eh, Harry? We'll be studying weapons this term."
And Harry saw that the creatures had cannons for heads and were wheeling to face him. He ducked,